Let's continue in prayer. God, thank you that you do love us so much. We confess to you that that we do get scared, that we do get anxious. We wonder if you'll be there for us. We wonder if we do what you call us to do, whether it'll work, whether we can trust you enough to see, even over the long haul, that you know what you're talking about and that you will help us every step of the way. God, grant us that kind of faith to venture out in the strength of your presence, not afraid, but strong and courageous. Not just for our sake, but God, for the sake of this world that you love so much. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So a couple weeks ago, I was actually up at Covenant Pines. We had our confirmation retreat coming up, and I was there ahead of time taking a walk at dusk. And if you haven't been to Covenant Pines, it's this beautiful camp, wooded area, and I encourage you to get up there sometime. I'm walking along this path in the woods, and it's dusk, so the shadows are pretty extensive. It's getting dark. I don't see all that well, but it's what I can see is just beautiful. And suddenly I hear this rustling in the leaves behind me, and I could tell it was some large animal. I was suddenly scared. You know what happens? Our brain, it sends a signal into our body. Our adrenal glands send out all these hormones like adrenaline that tells our heart rate to shoot up through the roof, our blood pressure to increase. It gives us more energy for the moment. We have cortisol that goes out into our bloodstream, and it tells us, don't worry about those things that won't help you through the next couple of minutes, you know, like growing. We won't worry about growing. We won't worry about eating. No appetite right now. You know, we won't worry about reproduction. We won't worry about our immune system. Those little bugs that might kill you in a year or two, we're not too worried about them right now. We're going to focus. It's a really good thing when you're being attacked by a lion or a tiger or a bear. When this Labrador retriever came bounding up to me, I knew I didn't have too much to worry about. If you've ever met a lab, you know. The thing I had to worry about was getting knocked over. He was just happy to see me, and once I calmed down, was really happy to see him too, and his owner who came walking up. And as we talked and as I petted him, my pulse went down, my blood pressure decreased. I started to breathe well. I knew all was okay. You know, it's good that we have that ability in our bodies to react, to respond to anxious moments, to challenges, to things that are fearsome in our lives. We need that. It's been a part of our survival through the centuries. But when we live at that chronic state of anxiety, of fear, it's not good for us at all. We actually need an appetite. We actually need an immune system. We actually need reproductive systems. We actually need to be able to grow. We actually need to be able to breathe and have our heart rate not be racing and our blood pressure not going to extremes. It's not good for us physically to be chronically anxious. And it's deadly for us spiritually. I mean, what it means for us, and let this be a cue for us, when we're chronically anxious, it means that we're not actually trusting God. That's what it means. And we say that we're saved by grace through faith. You know, Reformation Sunday today, faith. It's this trust in God that gives us life, allows His Spirit to move in us and work in us and through us in ways that by the works of our flesh we can never accomplish. We are called to live this life by faith. My sense is in our world today, a lot of us, even in the church, are living at that chronic state of anxiety, of fear. Am I right? There's an election just a few days away. And at least some of us in the room are a little anxious about that. And the news cycles are trying to keep that going. Our emails to each other tend to keep that going. Our conversations often keep that going. And we need somewhere along the line to not live at that state of chronic anxiety, but to remember to put our faith, our hope in God. It doesn't mean that we don't care about who gets elected. It doesn't mean that we don't care if nuclear bombs go off. We care about these things, but we don't live in fear. Martin Luther, who was one of the persons who was at the center of the Reformation movement, was a person who had his own doubts and his own questions and his own struggles. And whenever they would come to him, he would go off to pray. I've often said that anything in our lives that forces us to our knees in prayer can't be all bad. And for him, when the doubts and the questions would come, it would drive him to prayer. And he would go off, and often with his friend Philip Melanchthon, who was a part of that as well, to pray through the Psalms. And their favorite psalm that he would read, that they would pray, that they would sing together, it's the psalm upon which a mighty fortress, a very central, famous hymn for us, was written. Psalm 46 was where he would look to remind him of where his hope and his confidence comes from. And may this psalm for us today give us courage. Give us faith. Give us confidence in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has wrought in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Three times over in the psalm, we hear that word to put our faith in God, to not just put our faith in God, but just to trust God. At the beginning and at the end and in the middle, the first way it's put is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. At the end it says, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And in verse 7, right in the middle of the psalm, it says, the Lord of hosts is, did you notice what it said? The Lord of hosts is with us. Can you say that with me? The Lord of hosts is with us. One more time. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, from the beginning of the scriptures to the end of the book of Revelation, this is the message, that God is with us, that he loves us, that we can count on him, that we can depend on him. That's our faith. That's what we talk about when we come together week after week, when we bow before God in prayer, that God is with us, that we can trust him, that he's our refuge, that he's our strength. And the fact that we say that to each other, that we pray that we sing that, ought to make a difference in how we live out there in the world. If chronic anxiety, if fear is starting to drive you down, then your faith is just something you're thinking about, you talk about, but you haven't let it sink in to your heart. Be still, the psalmist says. Be still. Be still. In the midst of the raging storms, in the midst of the news cycles, in the midst of the constant going to our phone and reading our emails or answering the phone or texting or whatever it is that we do with our time, be still. Can you say that with me? Be still. Yeah, we're hearing more and more in our society about how important it is for us to take time out to just be still, to be quiet, to be mindful, to breathe. I was reading this past week about an elementary school in Baltimore where they developed a mindfulness room where they've got some lamps and pillows and things like that. And when an elementary school student gets into an incident, they call it, you know, has some trouble, they get taken to the mindfulness room and they're encouraged to just do some deep breathing, maybe some meditation, and then just talk about the incident. You know, why is it that you're in this room? What happened? And they found that last year when they instituted this, they didn't have any suspensions that year. A high school nearby has instituted it, and they've seen their suspensions go down and their attendance go up. There's something just about being still, about breathing, about letting that chronic anxiety, that worry, that busyness, just to let it go. That's, you could have something to do with why God instituted as one of the Ten Commandments. You know, we talk so much about the Ten Commandments, you know, about Sabbath. Well, that one's not that important, right? Now, murder, we know we shouldn't murder. Sabbath? You mean God was serious about that too? We were talking about this in confirmation class this morning. That God gives us the commandments because he loves us. He created us. He knows the best way for us to live, and it makes sense for us to order our lives according to his word. Not because God wants us to have boring lives, but because he wants us to have full lives. And the Sabbath is one of those things. Just to be still. But of course, the psalmist doesn't stop there, does he? Be still and, what was it? Know that I'm God. Yeah, that's really what the Sabbath is about. That's really what it is about when we take those times out for prayer. It's to remind ourselves, to be reminded we aren't God. Ever since Adam and Eve, that's been our tendency. Well, I think I can be like God. I could just, if I do it, if I read another book, or if I'm just a little busier, if I just yell a little bit more, or louder, or whatever, if I send one more email message, then you could be like God. You can get this nation fixed. Good luck with that. Be still and know who God is. We of all people who come here and we worship God, who say we believe in God, we ought to believe in God enough to trust him and seek to follow his guidance, his leading in our lives. Be still and know that I am God. You know, at the beginning of the psalm, after saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. In that day and age, I mean, we have some sense of what that is with earthquakes and tsunamis and all those kinds of things, but in their day and age, the world view was that the earth was built upon a foundation of mountains that went down into this cosmic sea. And when those mountains shook, and of course they had plenty of earthquakes, when the mountains shook, they were afraid that the earth would actually drop down through those mountains into the cosmic sea, be gone forever. Some translate this passage by saying, though the earth should dissolve. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever worried that this all could end tonight? Not just your life or mine, but it all? That's what they were worried about. And actually, I think some of us get worried about that too. We hear about these asteroids that are spinning around in space. We hear about nuclear weapons that could destroy life. We hear about pollution and global climate change. We hear about gamma rays that suddenly could go streaking across the sky. We wouldn't even know it. We'd be gone. I mean, we live in a vulnerable situation, and we know that as well as anybody who's ever lived, if we're paying attention. We're vulnerable, and nothing we can do will stop us from being vulnerable. We're human beings. We are living on a knife's edge in terms of all of that, and the amazing thing is that God has created us, that he's given us life, that he's given us a purpose, that he's called us to this, and that we can trust him in the midst of it. We will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains tremble in the heart of the sea. We will not fear. Would you say that with me? We will not fear, though the earth should change. And then after talking about this river of life that flows out of the temple of God, the psalmist goes on to talk about the nations, another reason why in that world they were worried that the nations would come up against Jerusalem, that their life was threatened. We know this too. There are wars going on around the world. We try, if we just build one more weapon, if we just build one more gunship, if we just do one more thing, then we'll be secure. And we find that, well, something might give us security for a little while, not for long, because then there's something else. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. That even includes our kingdom at times. By God's grace, may we know we've got a kingdom that goes beyond the one we're living in here in this world. May we put our hope and our faith in the king of that world. Because we're not going to fear, though the earth should change. We're not going to fear, though the kingdoms totter, though the nations rage. We will not fear. Would you say that with me again? We will not fear, though the earth should change, though the nations are in an uproar. And what would you put at the end of that sentence? We will not fear, though what? Though the earth should change, though your situation might change, though a loved one is gone and there's nothing you can do about it, though cancer has come into you or into the life of somebody you love and you're anxious about what will happen, we will not fear. It doesn't mean you're not going to go get medical care, you're not going to do the best you can, that we're not going to try to work on these situations. But we go into those things without fear. We will not fear. Though I got to think about how I'm going to get my kids through college, or at least help them, or get them through school. Or I'm not going to fear, though this relationship is strained and stressed. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to try to do my best in that relationship. But we will not fear. And I think about a conversation I had with somebody just in the last week or two where I could feel my anxiety rising up and my words getting stronger and louder. And I'm like, something's happening here. And I decided to go the other way with my anxiety and with my, be still and know that I'm God. You can go on with this conversation. You're going to do the best you can. But you know what? Know who God is in the midst of this. Know who God is. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And I think of how important it is when we get anxious to go to this refuge, to this person who loves us, and to rest in his care. And I think about 1 Peter chapter 5. I love these verses. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. We can come to our refuge. We can cast our anxieties on him. We can rest in his presence and then be strengthened by him to go back out into the fray, go back out into the challenges, go back out into the world, strengthened to serve God's purpose. You know, that river that the psalmist talks about that flows from the temple of God, here's some amazing news. That temple of God isn't just in Jerusalem anymore. That temple of God is in the life in the heart of every believer in Jesus Christ. That temple of God is a Apostle Peter tells us, in God's people, when we gather together. And that river of life flows out of us. Jesus says, out of the believer's heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what our world needs. More than any of the other things we can vote on, that we can argue about, that's what our world needs. May we today put our faith, our hope in the one who is with us. And strong in him, may we go forward. Strengthened by him, may we go forward to share his living water, his peace, his love with the world. Would you pray with me? God, we confess to you that we are an anxious people. You've actually made us that way, to be able to have bodies that respond to challenges. And we thank you for that. But we pray, Lord, that our challenges would also direct our attention back to you again and again. We would cast, oh God, our anxieties upon you. Hear the prayers of your people right now. The varied, out of all the people here, the varied anxieties that we carry with us. We will not fear, though, and we cast these anxieties on you. Hear the prayers of our hearts. And likely, God, there are some that we share together, some of these anxieties. We do pray for our nation right now. In an anxious time, we pray, Lord God, for our president, and we pray for the presidential candidates. We pray, Lord God, for all those who will be voting and discerning how to vote. God, help us, we pray. God, bless America. And God, help us in the midst of whatever happens, not to fear. But may we know that you are our strong refuge, our strength. And may we live, oh God, with every breath you give us by faith. Sharing the hope that burns within us. And the love, oh God, that you have given to us. May we share that love even with our enemies. Even with our political opponents. God, grant us the grace to not be conformed to this world. To be conformed to you, to your word, to your love. God, be with those who are struggling in various ways this morning. Grant your deep peace. And Lord, may your living water flow through us into the difficult personal situations of our lives, into the relationships that we have with people here and at school and at work, at home. And God, into this nation and into this world, may, oh God, your river of life flow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.